We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show, and welcome in our dear friend Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be here.
Usually we have you on the phone, and today we have you in, which is always nice. And if you have questions for her, this is free legal advice time for the next few minutes. You can call us at 866-470-2GNC and just ask any questions you'd like. Let me ask you this. Now, already we have an email from a P1 who says that through DNA testing, he's found out a child he's been paying child support for years is not his. Can my ex be made to refund the money that I paid? Mm. I think you've answered this in the past. Yeah, the answer's no.
Yeah, but they don't usually require any kind of refund because as the legal status was at the time presumed that he was the father, so they won't usually do that in most
really,
jurisdictions.
Because the kid has already, you know, it's for the best interest of the child.
Right. That's what it's about.
Still, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your kid.
Bum deal for that guy.
Yeah. And then going forward, you don't have to pay anymore, do you?
You have to go through a proceeding, even right. though you know, you've got your DNA test. You have to go through a legal proceeding, but then they'd cut it off.
Okay. Mm. We have a question here. Anonymous is on the line about a surgical procedure, malpractice. Go ahead, Anonymous, for your question for Lisa Lanier. Ask the lawyer.
Hey, Lisa. At the end of May, I went in for a septoplasty just to get a deviated septum fixed. And during the surgery, they ended up, instead of injecting me with lidocaine, they injected me with 1 to 1,000 concentration epinephrine and sent me into cardiac arrest.
Ooh. Oh my God. You have a loss. Let me step in.
Yeah. All right. You almost went to law school. Yeah, that one.
Well, you've got a lawsuit on your hand. You're going to win a bunch of money is what I say. But continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to get Lisa's opinion on it. You know, do I have a case? I mean, I've got medical records and everything. I've got the doctor's version of what happened. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here's the thing. How are you doing now? Because it sounds like there's multiple prongs that you have to, hurdles you have to surmount. And the liability sounds pretty strong. I mean, it gave you the wrong thing, right?
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
But then the next question is, what are your damages? Because believe it or not, you go into cardiac arrest, and some people, bam, they're fine. You know, yeah. And there's really no ongoing damage there. So how you doing is the question.
I've been to a cardiologist, and they say my heart and everything's fine. The only effects I've had really are some blood clots from just being in the hospital with a couple IVs in me.
Okay. So better.
So, I mean, I would take a look at it if you wanted to give me a call and I could look at your medical records. My only hesitation would be if your damages, how significant are they? And I'd have to really look at, the extent of your hospitalization, extent of any kind of permanent damage.
So you're saying if he's not permanently damaged, it might not be worth it.
Yeah, because medical malpractice cases, North Carolina requires expert testimony, and the experts are about, $5,000-$10,000 a pop. You need 3 or 4 of them. So you
really?
Start, yeah, and that's before you even start looking at my time or, any hope for recovering for the victim.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really have to see a really big dollar, big injury.
Yeah.
Somebody had dollar signs in his eyes and he almost went to law school.
Yeah.
Jeez, Kelly.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact quote, but Biggie may be able to back me up. You're going to get a lot of money.
Yeah. God, doesn't that seem like open and shut? Thank you, Anonymous.
They damn near killed you on the table.
Yeah. Gave him a concentration of something that sent him into
epinephrine.
But couldn't the doctor sit there and say, look, we fixed your nose.
Oh, yeah, right. How's your nose looking? I mean, it sent him into cardiac arrest. He needed a bigger injury, you say.
Well, in order for it to make it worth fighting it. I mean, if it was a situation, sometimes a provider will step up and do the right thing, and it may not have been the physician's fault. It may have been the, hospital or facility's fault. Sometimes they'll step up and do the right thing because it sounds like there's a liability issue there for sure.
All right. If you have a question for Lisa, you can call 866-470-2GNC. Anonymous, you're talking about a lawsuit of a police department. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. And hi, Lisa.
Hey there.
Probably about 6 years ago, I was doing my master's degree in school, and I got arrested for the distribution of heroin, which was basically BS. It was a VA doctor and a private doctor who were both giving me the same pills, which I did tell each one of them. But what happened was when they arrested me, they had no evidence whatsoever. No pills, no money, no witnesses to the case, no nothing. But they put me on a $2.5 million bond.
Mm.
I've never had any charges in my life. I'm a combat disabled vet at that. I spent 39 days in jail, and the reason why they dismissed it was because I kept on telling them, giving my initial patient history form from the doctor. Basically, they went to the police, went to these doctors. They both lied. I proved that they both lied. They both knew each other. But the problem is, it still affects me today because I couldn't do what I wanted to do in my master's program because it involved a hospital. And there's no way out of $2.5 million bond and still charges pending, especially considering that impact of heroin distribution.
Well, yeah, you hear that.
Yeah, that made my eyes go, ooh.
You're going to get a lot of money. You're about to get paid. get the bank account ready.
You've already ruined it.
A huge injection of cash.
You've already ruined one life, Kelly.
What do you think about his chances there? Going back for
a while. Well, first I want to say thank you for your service. Love veterans and really appreciate that you gave that time for your country. Think you're a couple issues. One is that the statute of limitations, you may be time barred. Number two, when there is an accusation that the police have engaged in misconduct, it cannot be that they were just ordinarily negligent, that they were just unreasonable. It has to be gross, really reckless, gross.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation where they're being informed by doctors, it sounds like, you know, if you sort of play devil's advocate and think if you were them, and they, even if the doctors lied, it sounds like, you know, the problem is more with the doctors than with the way the cops reacted to it.
Yeah.
Because they were, it sounds like they were misinforming the police on this guy.
I see.
But yeah, I think it's a tough one.
Okay. Mm. Oh, tough case, she
says.
Yeah. That's two callers. Both of them, I've said, back up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
And both of them, you
You're
said.
You're going to be on Easy Street.
Not worth your cash, not worth your time. Sorry, Anonymous. That's a bad, what a bad break.
Oh, man, this is why you can't be a lawyer.
I know. Well,
because every client you take, you'd be like, we're about to back up the Brinks truck.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
And then it wouldn't happen. Right. You'd be standing there going, ooh, really played that one wrong.
You owe me $65,000.
Yeah. Right. Still billing you for my time.
Sorry.
5 years later, where's that Brinks truck?
Yeah, really. Dave, you have a question about the vaccine. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. I was just wondering if it is illegal for an employer to make you required to get this experimental vaccine that has only received emergency approval as the terms of your employment.
You know, we were just talking about how the NFL and other companies now are, they're not saying you have to get it, but they're making it so if you don't, it looks pretty bad on you. You know, they're really sort of forcing you into it. What are your thoughts on this?
So the EEOC and some of the federal regulators that basically advise on the federal level on this have said that it is okay for employers to require it, but that's being challenged in the courts right now. There's actually a man from North Carolina, a sheriff's deputy, that has refused to get the vaccine. He was terminated, and he has joined a nationwide, a small number of public servants, mostly teachers and cops, who didn't want to get it. And it's going through the courts right now. Legal analysts in the employment arena feel typically in the majority that it's okay to require it, but
really?
They're fighting it. Yeah, they are fighting it.
Business can make that requirement.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of goes back. There's an interesting little wrinkle to it. There is that piece of federal legislation that allows an emergency vaccine to even be rolled out does have a little sidebar to it that says basically that people can't be mandated to take something that was an emergency vaccine. So that's in conflict with the other body of law that's already in existence where people are, you know, have been for a long time required to take the flu vaccine.
Well,
and
I was going
like
to ask.
That.
So some people, like health professionals, are required to get maybe a flu shot.
Right. So those things are at odds. And so, you know, the majority of legal analysts in that area feel that it is okay for employers, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It's a very unique situation. We've never had an experimental vaccine. We've had the flu vaccine that went through full approval. So it is different.
Do you know, Lisa, who or when you might get a who makes this final decision on this or when this might happen?
So it's basically at the lowest level of the federal courts right now. It's going to take years to work its way through. And it'll get appealed and appealed.
Thank you, Dave.
Do you think this is headed for the Supreme Court
Probably
potentially?
So. Yeah, I think so.
And if it takes years, by that time, the vaccine may have gone through all the trials that a regular vaccine would have, like a flu shot or something. Is that possible even? It would take that long?
It is, yeah. I mean, I would say 5-6 years probably.
God. And what about the states for the right to work? You know, they can hire and fire whoever they want.
Yeah.
That doesn't overrule that?
Well, it's a unique situation because you've got a conflict between federal and state law, and usually federal law will preempt.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, we used to have a boss here. If I ever made any statement about, I would say something like, "I think we need to get this," and he'd go, "Right to work, Steve."
Yeah, that's all you gotta say.
That's all you gotta say. Like, scared me.
At will.
At will, Steve. We got here, Kelly. Oh, my God, I was shaking in my boots all the time when he would say stuff like that. Matt is on the line talking about appearances or appearing in court. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Trying to figure out. I moved down from up north to North Carolina about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago or so. And I have full custody of my three children.
Right.
And trying to figure out. I keep getting my ex, the children's mom, keeps pulling me back in and out of court in New Jersey. Trying to figure out, like, why, since I've been here so long, do they have any jurisdiction or... How does that work?
Does he have to go to court and appear, and do they have jurisdiction still? By the way, he was throwing sound effects records at us the entire time.
I know, a dog barking,
a doorbell.
He's in a Holland Tunnel.
Yeah, he's back in New Jersey now. What are your thoughts?
So it's a child support issue? Is that what it's about?
No, it's my ex keeps trying to take me back to court for custody of the kids. She ain't even seen the kids in years. And I live in North Carolina now and keep getting pulled back to New Jersey for court. Nonsense.
So usually if that's where the original custody matter originated, then you will continue to be called back there even if you move away.
And it's a limited time?
Yeah, I mean, it's different if there was no custody action and you were in New York and she was somewhere else. I mean, you were in North Carolina and she was somewhere else. But since there was already a previous action there, you sort of can't move away to get away from it, if that makes sense.
Oh, God, that's too bad for him.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Matt. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Sometimes the law... I mean, it's not easy.
It's just not kind. Yeah.
I learned that.
Yeah. Well, you said a mouthful.
Yeah.
My first day of law.
First day of watching LA Law.
Fact. And Law and Order.
Law and Order.
I watched Law and Order last night.
But it started with Harry Hamlin.
Oh, so yeah. You had me at Hamlin. We finished with Orbach. Yeah. Joseph, you're talking about. Now, this is a very interesting question. I'm glad you're bringing this up. We had this on the docket to do today. It's the Scarlett Johansson Disney lawsuit. Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking, and I'm a big fan of Marvel and Disney, and I saw that she is planning legal action against Disney due to a breach of contract, saying she is owed $50 million residual because of Black Widow premiering on Disney Plus Premier Access. I was just wondering, like, what is, especially with a giant corporation like Disney, what do you think the expected outcome is with, you know, with breach of contract suits?
It's a totally new thing. You know about this?
Yeah, I do. And my more important legal, you know, pressing legal question is, did you like the movie Black Widow?
Biggie says not worth it. Yeah. Not that good.
It was okay, but not worth $30.
Not worth the $30.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get as much money because they put it on their streaming platform as well as in theaters. And now she wants $50 million.
Right. So what happens is all of these actors, not just Scarlett Johansson, but almost all actors, the traditional Hollywood contract, all the compensation is tied to box office sales, and that's just always been the way it is, and so that's how they still are. But now, in the post-COVID era, you see all this direct-to-streaming Disney Plus business going on, and so that what the stars are saying is, look, hey, that's cheating me out of revenue, and the contract says it will not that won't happen, that it will go exclusively to box office for a period of time first. So by the letter of the contract, I think she's probably got a winner. But what most studios, and this isn't new, what most studios are doing is they're giving the talent a cut of the streaming revenue, because like with Black Widow, it did $80 million at box office, it did $60 million streaming. So I mean, you see it really you see how it would hurt the talent's pocket. And I think they tried to work it out with her and just couldn't come to an agreement. So she took the preemptive strike of filing a lawsuit. I look for them to resolve it, though.
Yeah. But she, by the letter of the contract, she wins.
Yeah, by the letter of the contract, they did what, you know, they did what they said they wouldn't do.
That's right. Okay.
But
thanks, Joseph.
But didn't they, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I thought that they shot and edited, they were supposed to release this way before COVID, way before you know, streaming was a thing. You know, streaming had become such a thing. Mm-hmm. They can't say you signed an old, you know, a pre-COVID thing. Contract.
Yeah, because the contract, you know, contract law is, it's basically the letters on the paper, the words on the paper, and you can't, you know, the passage of time doesn't change that.
I see.
She's right. Let's go over to
thanks.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Contract law doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I was going to say the same. That's right. Sam, you wanted to talk about convicted felons and their rights. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Lisa. Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm a convicted felon from 2005, and it's a federal charge, and I've heard mixed rumors, but I want to know, what are the odds of me getting my rights back?
What kind of rights do you lose? Like voting? Can you no longer vote if you're a convicted felon? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you get them back?
You know, I don't think so. I think you, and I'll have to say, this is one, I don't practice criminal law, but I think it is pretty tough, especially, I think there's some movement to change the law to make it, I mean, I think one of the things is with voting rights, it's a big deal. It's a way that a lot of states have very onerous laws in this regard to try to keep people from voting, who would vote maybe not the way their party would go or something. So, you know, there's a lot of movement afoot to try to change that, but I don't think currently that that's possible.
Do you think that if a guy is convicted of a felony, and let's say he goes in 10 years, where he's paid his debt to society, when he gets out, should he be allowed to vote? I mean, he's back
out.
Well,
I do think the passage of time, because like with this caller, it's been a really long time, so it might be worth looking into it. If you want, I can try to refer you to somebody who, because I've referred several people for expungements and things like that, and because it has been a long time ago, would also probably depend on, you know, the extent, like what you were charged with.
Well, now let me ask you, Sam, what were you charged with?
Bank robbery.
Oh, bank robbery. Okay.
Yeah, that might be a tough one. But call my office and I'll get your referral.
Okay, there you go. I like it. Look at her.
Probably won't get his gun rights back.
Thank you, Sam.
Wouldn't think so.
Gun rights.
Wouldn't think so.
But voting, I think you ought to be able to vote.
I mean, it might be.
Yeah, back out.
It was a long time ago.
Hey, and you're paying taxes.
You know, and you paid your dues. You stayed clean. That's what matters.
That's right.
Did you hear my tax point?
Yeah.
Remember what I said about tax?
Yeah.
I mean, you're back out there. You're contributing.
That's not where
you're
the bank, was it? Happened on April the 14th.